Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all chips in the PC. It's Saturday, the 3rd of December, Anno Domini 2016, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
And I actually had the camera stream running before the show started. By about 5 seconds.
That's really, it doesn't matter. They don't know that.
Dave's not on yet, but aim that camera at yourself.
No, point it up to the wall. I have a face for radio.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there.
Don't we all? Apparently, tech support scammers weren't happy simply bamboozling unwary Windows users out of their hard-earned money. Now they're taking their data hostage, too. Phone-based Windows support scams have been going on for at least 6 years, despite repeated warnings from the likes of the Better Business Bureau, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the FBI, Microsoft themselves, not to mention us.
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security. Fraudsters continue to find plenty of new victims. The scams typically run like this. The phone rings and the caller claims to be a Microsoft support rep who's checking up on reports of errors or a malware infection on the victim's computer.
Is your computer running slow? Well, who says no?
Exactly.
Right, exactly. The caller then tells the victim to download a diagnostic tool, usually a legitimate remote support app like LogMeIn Rescue or TeamViewer. A connection is established to the troubled computer, and then the smoke and mirrors routine begins. Commands are run, dangerous-looking files and lengthy text logs are displayed on the screen, which, of course, indicates serious problems. For a fee, of course, the scammer will gladly take care of everything. They'll even offer to install a protection package to keep the victim safe down the road. Recently, however, researchers have caught Windows support scammers infecting a victim system with ransomware. Their motivation is transparent enough. They're after bigger payouts. A malware analyst for Avast found evidence of fraudsters loading a piece of ransomware called Windows Locker onto computers. Further investigations reveal that Windows Locker is just part of the scam. It's not a real ransomware strain that you might encounter on the web, just an encryption tool that reportedly was designed as a joke. It does the job, though, further confusing and intimidating Windows support scam victims and extorting larger payments, such as an extra $350 from them. While the best defense against these scammers remains hanging up as soon as you receive a cold call from someone claiming to be with Microsoft support or Windows support, you're not out of luck if you were fooled into believing that you were actually being helped. Security professionals have released decryption tools that can undo the damage from Windows Locker, including malware bytes. And we have a link that Steve will put up shortly once he gets this thing running fine. And our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bytes with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is, have you been called by a Windows scammer? And the choices are, yes, but I hung up. Yes, and I got caught. Yes, but I don't run Windows. No, but I'm ready, and, of course, I don't own a phone. So far, we have 21 votes, and no, but I'm ready is far ahead of everything else, followed distantly by yes, I hung up, and yes, but I don't run Windows. So far, nobody's been caught, and all of you own a phone. Now, I know you will have more to say about this, so if you scroll down on the right there, you will see under the search bar, you'll see fascinating stuff. The first choice there is the forums. The second forum is the poll discussion. And so far, at least, the first poll discussion is 3 December 16. Have you been called by a Windows scammer? 3 posts so far. And we'd love to have you join in that conversation. And, of course, we would also like to have you join us. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Well, this has been going on. This is just another new twist to it because I had a couple other folks come in and what these jokesters were doing, or scammers, I should say, is calling folks and saying, well, we got a report, that you, and like you said, Steve, that your machine is running slow and, you know, we can help you out. And, you know, they talk them into this and this and that. And then it's a $350 tab.
And sort of the sneaky thing they do, because we've had people caught by that, and then when they dispute when they try to dispute it, the company says, well, no, they subscribe to a service.
Yeah.
You know, you're not paying for a specific thing that was fraudulent. You're subscribing to a service. You can call us anytime you want.
Yeah.
And we've had customers that take months to get their money back.
Yeah, if they even do.
If they do, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of them disappear and they're gone.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's just a new variety. Now they're actually using the name Microsoft.
Well, and our customers, which are mostly Mac users, right. We try to tell them you don't have anything from Microsoft on your computer, most likely. Some of the scammers will be smart enough to start giving Apple instructions. Oh, you've got a Macintosh? Okay, yes. Okay, why didn't you know that if you're from Microsoft?
Right.
but then they start knowing the Macintosh instructions to trick you into thinking they'll have them open Netstat. And no one knows what Netstat is. It's your network statistics. Look at all those things connecting to your computer.
Right.
No, that's your computer connecting out to things.
Right.
Like your mail server and your web server.
Here's the key
thing. Those are all good.
Microsoft has enough trouble and problems keeping their software running and not getting attacked that they're going to sit there and call you telling your machine is running slow. Here's a hint. They don't care. They just want to keep selling you product. So they're not going to call you.
And if anything, they'd sell you a new computer.
Yes, with Windows 10 on it. But they won't call you to say, oh, we're concerned because your machine is running slow.
Yeah.
They don't really care.
They don't care. I have a new tactic for phone calls that come from phone numbers I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently been getting, for some reason, a lot of phone calls from Wisconsin. So when they call, I will answer the phone and say, congratulations, you're caller number 43. You're on with Captain Joe. What's your question? Or
cool.
You know, what's your what's the secret word or whatever?
Yeah.
I knew someone that really suckered the scammer in. They forgot they were the caller. and got their information from them to mail them the prize pack. Yeah.
There was a YouTube video where this kid, he posted it on these scammers, and you could tell the guy was foreign, and the guy goes, you know, he was just leading this guy on. Well, yeah, I know I ordered that, but shouldn't that be coming in blue? What do you mean it's coming in a different color? And the guy's going, no, and, you know, trying to, and, well, is it going to, you know, I'm really looking forward to the show. Has it shipped yet? He's going out because this guy's trying to sit there and say, no, you owe a lot of money, back money, and that. And he wanted him to go to Target and get these cards.
Oh, yeah, you're right, right.
You know the one I'm talking about? Yeah. You see? Yeah. So, I mean, he played
get the money orders and send them the money orders.
Yeah, you know, it's all these scams like that. It's like, really? Go to a store and get money orders? You know, because he was trying to say some government agency.
Yeah, that was the one a couple of years ago where you'd get an FBI warning or Homeland Security warning that you've been downloading child pornography and bestiality, and we're going to come arrest you unless you go to Walmart and send us a money pack.
Yeah, because we'll take a bribe that can be traced back to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
happens every day, don't you?
Yeah,
know?
I have on Facebook. I seem to regularly get. Requests from young ladies who apparently cannot afford much clothing.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible. And I really thought at one point about writing a book on it, so I started responding to these things.
But pray tell, how did you
taking screenshots and that stuff because I was going to write a book. But the problem is they're all essentially exactly the same. They talk to you for a couple of minutes, and then they say, I really find you fascinating and very sexy. Really? Have you seen my picture?
They like that chrome dome blinding.
I know. Well, they know what that actually
they're
is.
Clear. Yeah, they know.
And so they say, so call me. okay. And then they give me this phone number with, I forget the area code, but I used to know it. And I would say, where are you calling? Where are you?
It looks like a regular area code.
Yeah. Right. But they're in Ghana. They're always in Ghana. Always in Ghana.
I used to get a lot of them from Guam.
Yeah,
which is at least a U.S. protectorate.
Right. But now
but now it's an international long-distance phone number.
Right, and it's, I'm sure,
20 bucks a minute.
20 bucks a minute or something like that, and they get the money. So they'll keep you on the line all day long.
Yeah.
You know, they'll talk about anything you want to talk about.
Oh, heck yeah.
And I don't, and I will say things like, why are you in Ghana? Oh, I work in Ghana. Okay. It says you're going to, like, high school in Texas on your Facebook page. How does that work exactly? And then they're gone. They never respond to you again.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of thing is happening a lot too. You know, it just looks like a phone number, but if you ask them, mm-hmm. or if you look up that area code, that code, they're actually in the ones I've been getting all seem to be in Accra, Ghana. The funny thing is, I actually know somebody who lives in Ghana, which is why I first recognized the phone number.
So if
her number clearly is not a $20 a minute.
Well, like, and so if they would have used their real phone number, you might have answered it thinking it was your friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they usually come up. I mean, anybody in my contact list, no problem, because the number shows up, you know, and that they're friends or whatever. I've categorized it all. But if you come up and it's unknown, like you say, I've been getting some from Chicago. I've gotten some from Utah. You know.
Well, one of the latest things they do is they'll spoof their call ID.
Right.
So it will look like it's coming from the 585 area code. So mm-hmm. you think it's somebody local.
Oh, yeah. It just says New York.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I don't know you.
Because it's so easy to spoof your call ID.
I just swipe it down and, you know, because I've been getting them at work, too. You know,
yep.
the phone And yeah, no.
Well, start being a DJ, and you're having a contest.
Oh,
I'm telling you,
love
that works.
I can do that.
They never call back because these people don't get paid if they don't hit a sucker. Yeah. And that phone number, if it's a if it's a radio station, they're never going to hit a sucker ever because it's an on the air number, yeah. and they'll only, you know, they'll hang up if you start talking about things that aren't part of the show. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I got to try that.
Thanks for calling Uncle Bob's Happy Hour.
Yeah.
You're on the air. What's your question?
Yep.
You're caller number 12.
You're calling number 12. You're a winner. What's your address? Give me your name. What's your name, winner?
Yeah. You know, just click.
Yep. Get your patter down beforehand and then.
Oh, yeah. That's no problem.
And then answer the phone. I'm telling you.
That sounds like fun.
You know, if you just hang up on them, they'll call back at some point to put you back in the rotation.
Well, still on the business phone.
Right.
You know, I...
Look, you're already paying for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got like 48 seconds, 50 seconds to give them your patter and ask them their name and wait for them to just hang up, which they will do.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. I can't tell you how well that... Are you done with this?
I've got a question for you, but go ahead.
Okay. It works.
Oh, I would have no doubt.
Yeah, it works pretty well. So that's our tip to everybody out there. If you get calls from people you don't know, be a radio DJ having a contest.
Well, like you say, that one that was sitting there and offering you money and that, and you played them on saying, oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
They won't allow it here in jail.
Yeah, I got one of those once, and it was one of those mornings where I just felt like screwing around with somebody. And so they called and said, you know, you won this contest. And I said, oh, it's great. I won the contest. And then they said, well, you won the contest, but in order to get the money, you send us some money, and then
we
have your account. It's a processing fee. Yeah. And we then have your account number, and we can put money in.
I can't believe I've paid too much taxes in Nigeria, so they want to send me a refund.
That's nice of them.
I've won the Italian National Lottery, and I just have to pay a processing fee.
You won it? Doggone you!
Just have to pay a processing fee to get my winnings.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites and the Truly Great. And truly grateful to be member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Computer Talk, you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Andy from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. How's it going today?
Peachy, you?
Not too bad. In keeping with the theme of your last few minutes conversation here, about 8:30 this morning, my phone goes off, and I grab it, and of course I didn't have my glasses on, so I couldn't see it said unknown caller. And a gentleman who claimed his name was John, whose accent was so, in misuse of the English language, was so bad he could only be from India, claiming to be from Best Buy, which was a new wrinkle for me. I hadn't had one of those before.
Best Buy, excellent.
Oh, yeah. And he's telling me that they had determined that my computer had a problem and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, well, John, there's only one problem. I've never bought a computer from Best Buy.
Yeah.
How would you know what my computer is or what the problem is? Line went dead.
Cool.
Yep. Yep.
He's a psychic.
But it's like, Best Buy? Really? Okay.
Hey, well, whatever it takes.
I guess they have to share the love. They've worn out their welcome with Microsoft or something.
Well, that's just it. We're warning so many people about Microsoft that it's time they change their dealer. And particularly with Christmas coming up, people, pay attention because you're going to get a lot more Best Buys and you know, whatever big box stores local to you, and Microsoft and Apple and Google. And
there's also fake shipping notices that will go around claiming to be
UPS.
From FedEx or UPS.
Right.
Now, there's a problem with your shipment. Click here to give us the right address.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bad guy will log in to UPS with that and get your account information and change the delivery address and then get your stuff.
Yeah, I had... I have a number of different websites, and for one of them, just one of them, I got four separate notices that someone was trying to change the owner of the account.
Hmm.
So I called my registrar,
because
I have their number because I've dealt with them so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's going on? And the lady was very apologetic. She says, we know all about this. It's a glitch in our system. It's not somebody trying to steal your domains.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not. It's a glitch in our system. We thought we called everybody, but apparently we missed thousands of people. And I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Ouch.
They didn't give me like a free year or anything. But,
oh, darn.
But still, you know.
A couple months would have been good.
But, you know, you got to pay attention to that stuff and be aware of it. If, you know, just had I just said... Well, in this case, it would have been okay, but you don't want to say, well, I didn't change anything, so it must be a mistake. You don't know it's a mistake until they tell you it's a mistake.
Yeah.
Right. And Andy is exactly correct. You know, pay attention to what they're saying. I never bought anything from Best Buy. I don't own a Windows machine. You know, whatever it might
think.
Be. Stop and think.
Because your normal instinct is to panic. And
Because we're all trained to trust people.
Yeah.
Because most people are generally honest.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, the one story that about these things that I really loved was my mother, God rest her, and my mother was not technological anything. You mentioned the word computer, and she ran the other way.
Yeah.
Never met a remote control she couldn't mess up. you know, it's just or a cell phone or a wireless phone that she couldn't mess up somehow. So she gets this phone call one day, and this gentleman. Went through his whole spiel saying how he was from Microsoft and would she be interested to know that her computer had all kinds of viruses and malware on it. She said, well, I'd be very interested to know that. And he said, well, good. And this, that, and the other. She says, well, I'd be very interested to know because I don't own a computer.
Yep.
So she decided to have some fun with him. But you know, this just keeps getting... Curiouser and curiouser.
Well, it's because so much of our lives are wrapped up in computers of some form or another. I'm seeing calls for people saying, we understand you're having a problem with your iPad. Well, who isn't having a problem with their iPad or their, I don't mean specifically that, but, you know, your tablet or your phone. We understand you're having a problem with your phone. Yep, I am having a problem with my phone. Everybody's got some sort of something that's not 100% to their liking.
Funny, because you're calling me on it.
You're right, exactly.
You're
exactly.
Right. So I have a problem with it, yes.
Right, right. That's my problem. Yeah. You're calling me. Yeah. But yeah, but so, you know, we're going to see it more and more and more with all kinds of devices.
In fact, and you got one of the Windows pop-up messages on your Chromebook once.
On my Chromebook, guys.
Infected with this Windows virus. Call Microsoft.
Right, right.
On my Toshiba Chromebook.
Yeah, right.
How did that happen?
Which there's nothing in there with that even starts with an M. Much less it ends in Microsoft. So, yeah, no, absolutely. We see it all the time, and it's getting worse and worse, and we need to be more and more diligent every minute.
But what amazes me is, I mean, you guys have been talking about this now.
Decades.
For at least 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, at least.
And it's been on the national news and, you know, on the nightly news. They mention it every once in a while, and the local news has mentioned it. And, you know, the computer magazines have all mentioned it, and you know it's been getting a lot of airtime about this type of a scam, and yet people are still falling for it.
Well, here's the thing, and I know this will shock you, but there are some people who do not listen to this show.
Yeah,
but more importantly,
just a few.
Right. More importantly, is the phenomenon that people don't hear if it's not exactly their problem. So if you're listening to this show and somebody starts talking about phone scams and you've never been hit by a phone scam, you kind of tune it out. You may listen, but you don't remember. So when it does happen to you, you don't have that memory in your head that says, you know what, this, I need to be more careful here. And we need to start developing that. You know, I've said it so many times. There are streets you don't walk down at 3 in the morning with $20 bills hanging out of your pocket.
Unless you know the shout.
Unless you know the shout. But the same is true on the internet. You need to be, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, you know, the $200 watch for $10, you might be a little skeptical.
Yeah.
Might.
Or you might. And so... But the problem is we haven't developed that skepticism muscle for when we're sitting in the safety and security of our own homes and it pops up on our own familiar computer screens.
Yeah, you feel safe in your own home.
Yep.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I do listen to this show.
Well, you're the one.
You know, you guys have had so many, Dave's had so many different fun stories about it, and you've had so many different fun stories about it, that after a while it starts to soak in that, you know, these guys are out there, and when they call, you can actually have some fun jerking them around.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you can, you know, if you're busy, just hang up. Just hang up. But the better thing to do is, like I said at the top of the show, pretend to be a radio station.
Yeah. I like that.
Test your patter, get it down, and pretend to be a radio station, because they will mark you as don't call back.
Hmm.
Because they don't want to wait. They make money by going through the phone calls, and then the ones that don't answer go back into rotation. So if you hang up on them, you go back into rotation. But if you're out of service, and that's the other thing I do is my answer thing, and I changed it now. I got to put it back again. My answer, my phone answering message, you know, wait for the beep thing, starts with those three tones that you get when a call is no longer in service.
I've been doing that for about a year now, and I've had to warn all my friends to ignore it. But
right, people who pick up the phone and are actually listening, they'll hear the three tones, and then they'll just move on and say, I'm not here, you know, so do, 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 that's the sound. Mm-hmm.
Well, then you change your tone, your message to say, do, 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 hi.
But an automated answering machine will hear those three tones and mark you down as a number no longer in service and take you out of rotation for a while, months at least.
Yeah, I found out during the political season, which ran far too long this year, that I would still, their machines were not, they would, I'd be getting a recording speaking to my recorder.
Yep. Yeah,
it just powered through the tones and started talking.
Yeah, some of them don't care. They'll just do it. They'll just keep talking.
Yeah.
The cheaper ones, which are generally what the politicians use, will just keep talking. But, yeah, so, yeah, but that's all good stuff, Andy. Thanks.
Okay, well, Ed, I'll be listening, and I'll keep coming up with it. Novel ways to scam the scammers, and we'll have some fun with it.
Excellent. Thanks, Andy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nick, were you the one that was telling us once where you started shaming the guy? Does your mother know what you do?
Yes. Yes, I've done that too. I've gotten angry at them. Really? Seriously? You're trying to extort money from me? Does your mother know you do this for a living? She would be very disappointed in you, the way she raised you, and this is what you do, this is what you do. I wouldn't let him get a word in. Eventually hung up.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty good.
You gotta meet fire with fire with these people.
And have some fun.
And you got to have some fun.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're going to stress yourself out, then...
Yeah, I told you, the one guy got so excited. I've never won anything. Thanks so much. This is great. And he started apologizing to me. No, well, you didn't... Well, I'm sorry, but you didn't really win. You told me I won something.
Well, you told me I had a virus. Part of me wants to hope that some of these people don't know they're scamming. And they were hired. You know, you answer the
you're
ad.
So cute when you're naive.
Well, you answer the phone, the ad phone number on the telephone pole, and you're answering the phone, and you're reading the script.
Right.
And the boss told me to call this number, and you having a problem, and I have to follow my script.
Right.
And hopefully,
well, at the point where they inject a virus into your system, they ought to really know what they're doing.
Well, that's when they send you to level two.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the first one gets you in.
Yep.
Suckers you in. All right, well, this is more than I can handle. We're moving you on, so they sound important. We're moving you on up to a level two.
Yeah.
That our techs can really help you out with this issue.
Yep.
I've heard that one before. Yep.
And then I've had that happen, and then it's the same voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I let them go through their spiel for 10 minutes. Of course, I'm retired, so I can do this. I let them go through all of their spiel until they get to the...
And you're running up their 800 phone bill.
Right. And I wait until they get to... and it's a long... It's international.
Yeah.
Until they get to asking me for my credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, oh, I'm not allowed to have a credit card. No. The home won't let me have one.
After the incident.
They said I can't.
They said I can't have one.
Maybe next month, if I'm a good boy, they'll let me have a few bucks.
They let me have enough money to buy candy at the commissary. It's great. But I don't have a credit card. I'm not allowed to have one. And then there's just dead silence on the other end of the line.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do now. And eventually there's a click.
I say it still.
Now I've wasted their day and saved them from getting to you by the end of their shift. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to go back to jail.
Yeah. I got a lot of good friends there.
That's right. Three squares a day and a cot.
Yeah. Hey.
Three hots and a cot. I'm ready to go.
Free medical.
Exactly. All right. Should we go back to the phones now? Yeah. Poor Pat from Batavia has been just waiting and waiting. What's up, Pat?
Well, you know, I got a couple quick stories based upon this most recent discussion you had. One time, I don't know, this is really spontaneous, I decided, because the guy wouldn't stop talking, I howled like a wolf.
Oh, excellent.
And I enjoyed it so much, I started to laugh. So for the next 30 seconds, it was alternating, howling, and cracking myself up so much. I couldn't help it. I laughed and laughed. And after about 30 seconds, the guy hung up on me.
Yeah, I can't imagine why he would do that.
The other one is, years ago I worked in a collection center, I won't tell you where, but the number was very close to, I think it was Verizon's customer service. And because collection work is really stressful and that you need a little relief, so they had guys that would like, and you could transfer calls from phone to phone. They said, okay, hold a moment. And they said, who wants to take a service call from Verizon? And people would raise their hand and they said, okay, what's your problem? Okay, try this and this and this. And of course, none of it worked because we had no idea.
Cool. Said, okay, unplug it and plug it back in. First. Thanks.
And they mute it and say, who wants the next call? And
yep, very nice.
Around, and they'd go three or four times around until one of the supervisors came into the calling area, and then they had to disconnect.
Yeah. That's
but
very funny.
My real question of the day. Steve, this is for you, and it really is for you. You did, by your own admission, much better today at getting into the YouTube streaming. Was there something different that you did today, or are you just getting really more efficient at Because I'm thinking about doing some of that stuff, and I'd love to benefit from your knowledge.
Everything just worked right off today, which is the unusual part. All the cameras came in. The internet is working now. In fact, when I hit start streaming, I forgot to plug the Ethernet cable in after I hit the start streaming button, but the Wi-Fi is working now.
So it was just everything happened to come together. Nothing really did different.
Right, and the problem isn't anything in the streaming, it's the time. You know, we've only got 2 or 3 minutes between shows to get everything plugged in and set up.
Right, because I imagine that area is too small for you to be in when they're doing the polka beforehand.
Yeah.
It's too small for us to be in, period.
Yeah. Remember the old studio where we had 20 minutes of Paul Harvey to get everything set up?
We had 20 minutes and we had eight. We could play handball in that room. Yeah. It was huge.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, I'm over here running the boards, and Nick and Steve are maybe 3.5-4 feet away from me where the phone is. And, you know, I'm trying to talk softly so they can carry on and it's not going over the air because there's three microphones here. I closed mine, but there's still two open mics that, you know, that's not going over the air. And people then talk very softly, too. And then I can't hear them.
Right. When you talk softly to them, they talk softly back to
you. Yeah, they talk back, but I have to so it doesn't go out over the air. So, yes, it's cozy in here. I won't say it's tight, but it's cozy.
It's cozy, yeah.
You guys have to be all friends, or by the end of the show, you will be.
No, God, I hate it. Get me out of here. Please, help me.
We're in 28 years of this. I mean, that lasted a lot longer than my first marriage.
Nick, you missed a good meeting at Rochester Google's the other night.
I felt bad. Well, I'm teaching on...
This is kind of a lead-in to my other question for Steve is, I think at one time you mentioned there was some kind of an apple cider or some kind of group.
Yep.
Is that still around?
Yes, second Wednesday of the month at East High School. Our next meeting is December 14th, and Jerry Seward is going to be giving us a keynote on how the Internet has changed in the last decade.
Nice.
And we're going to be talking about social video streaming, too, with YouTube and
Facebook.
That's
the one to hit. All right,
how would that work for somebody that's just got a Mac?
Hold on, I got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, Pat from Batavia, Soundbites, Members Sport, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekday afternoons from 1 to 4 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we have Pat from Batavia on the line. Go ahead, Pat. Sorry to cut you off earlier.
No problem. I enjoyed your commercials there.
Thanks. Underwriting.
I was mentioning to Steve about the, I think, did you say apple cider?
Apple cider, yeah. That's the name of the Apple Computer Users Group. We meet the second Wednesday of the month at East High at 7 p.m., and the website is applecider.org. And on the December 14th meeting, which is in 2 weeks, we're going to be having Jerry Seward, friend of the show, giving a keynote on how the Internet has changed in the last decade. And then I'm going to be talking about some of the social video streaming that's become popular recently with Facebook and Periscope and YouTube.
How would that work for somebody that's really new to having a Mac? This person I know has owned one but been a little reluctant to open it up because she's always had a Windows system.
Yeah, we try to balance between the new users and the longtime users. You may want to start. The general meeting is good too, but you may want to start with our Saturday Q&A session. So that would be Saturday the 17th. So it's a Saturday after the main meeting, where we have a Q&A session at the JCC. And it's just a bunch of us sitting asking questions and answering questions and seeing how that works. A lot like the show, you know, Soundbites here does too.
Right. One last thing. Is there anything you can think of, like classes or online and that would help a person get started with using their Mac if they're really, you know, just not sure where to begin.
Apple does have some nice training videos on their website. In the Mac, if you go to the Help menu, there is a what's new and new to Mac, and that takes you to some of Apple's training videos. A lot of the continuing ed departments in different schools around town will have Windows classes. We don't see too many doing Mac classes. I do know that JCC does iPad classes, since iPads are so popular as well.
Right.
But that's one place to look, too.
Okay, very good. Thanks for your help, and I'll continue listening.
All right, thanks.
We'll see you.
Yep. It's daunting sometimes to get a new computer with a new operating system. You know, people aren't good at change, never have been.
And it's one of the reasons I hate Windows 10 so much, is because it looks so different. And people kicking and screaming away from Windows XP, even, let alone Windows 7.
Yeah, right. All right, this is a news item that really... do we have somebody waiting on the line? No. So, and this is a news item that really needs to go, that needs to be told. More than a million Google accounts have been hit by malicious software. The Checkpoint security firm said in a blog post on Wednesday that the attack campaign, known as Gooligan, which I love that name, is expanding to an additional 13,000 devices a day. 13,000 devices a day. It's malware that infects devices and steals their authentication tokens to breach data from Google Play, Gmail, Google Photos, Google Docs, G Suite, Google Drive, and other programs. The malware attack is said to be the biggest single theft of Google accounts on record. But the reason for the attack may not be what you'd expect. It's not to grab personal information from the accounts of Google users. Instead, it's to force them to download apps that are part of an advertising fraud scheme that makes up to $320,000 a month. We are in the wrong business. Google has its own blog post about the attack. In the post, Google said it had found no evidence that Gooligan had accessed user data or that specific groups of people have been targeted. The motivation is to promote apps, not steal information, Google said. The episode comes at a time when cyber attacks have been at a high-profile problem, hitting everyone from internet giants to the Democratic National Committee. In September, Yahoo suffered what is believed to be the biggest cyber attack in history, where hackers swiped information from more than half a billion accounts. Gooligan belongs to a family of malware called Ghost Push. It features a Trojan horse type of attack, malicious software posing as legitimate apps. The names of malicious apps include Stopwatch, Perfect Cleaner, Wi-Fi Enhancer. Once installed, they automatically install other apps, some of which could steal usernames and passwords, to post fake reviews. These downloads and reviews apparently feed into the hackers' ad fraud scheme. Hackers have run ads in those forcibly downloaded apps, so every click or download helps the hackers make money. Checkpoint said that Gooligan is a variant of an Android malware campaign found by researchers in the SnapP app last year. Now, the interesting thing is the Gooligan apps come from third-party app stores or websites instead of the Google Play Store, where Google has more authorization over apps. Some apps that Gooligan downloads without permission can be found in the Play Store, but if you don't download stuff from third-party app stores or directly from websites, you should be okay. And people who are worried about the Google accounts that they may be compromised can consult the Checkpoint Software website, and Steve will put that up shortly as well. So, did you check? Have you been compromised? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Just like Vic did from Dayton, Ohio. What's up, Vic? How are things in Dayton?
Oh, just fine, cold, waiting for snow and stuff like that.
Sure.
Hey, I have a possible solution for this Microsoft and your computer is broke problem, plus other calls.
Yeah?
There is a site called nomorobo.com, and most of these are robocalls, calling.
Right.
Computer does the dialing, they do the talking. And basically, they have a list of known robocall exchanges, and they block them on your phone. Now, this works for most phone systems, not everyone. It's free for residential users, and they charge you if you're commercial. interesting program. It works well. Friends of mine have used it. My phone system doesn't particularly play well with it, so I can't use it. But it stopped all those extraneous calls from who knows who. You know, you're in violation of your taxes, etc. You know, just on and on and on it goes. Can they have a list of known exchanges? And they simply block them. So, nomorobo.com, they have a video, and it tells you exactly how it works and what to do. And if your phone system is compatible with it, that's the end of your robo situation for the most part. A friend I told about, he was getting calls just left and right every day. It made his phone completely silent as far as robo calling. That's it.
Nice.
Very simple. Take a look at their website. There's a video explains exactly what happens, and it's free.
Nice. Well, the landline version is free. Mobile for one person is $2 a month, and mobile for a family is $5 a month. Looks like
Yeah, there's details if you, mobile and stuff like that. Not just really what you're referring to. Most of these are home calls, but anyhow.
Right.
It explains in pretty good detail on their website.
Perfect.
And a video.
Yep, and there's a video, so how can you go wrong? And it does appear to be available for iPhones and Android coming soon. Excellent. Thanks very much, Vic.
All right, see ya.
Yep, bye have bye. Fun. Very, very nice, and it'll protect you on VoIP calls to your landline or on mobile.
Cool.
It doesn't work with traditional copper, plain old telephone system.
Well, right, because it's an app. It's a phone app, mm-hmm. So... I understand that, but it looks pretty cool. So, check that out. Nomo Robo. Steve is putting that up right now. It should be up in a couple of minutes. And it looks like a pretty neat thing.
So basically, you give them your phone number. They answer the phone first or simultaneously from your phone ringing. And if it's a known robocall, they stop your phone ringing and hang up for you.
Cool.
Nice. Very nice. Very, very nice. And so far, Nomo Romo has stopped over 167 million robot calls. Robocalls are, as Vic said, robocalls are automated calls. That's the one that Steve was saying. Somebody was talking to his answering machine. Well,
yep.
That's clearly a robo call.
And you can often tell that when you answer the phone and there's like a 2 or 3 second pause before someone answered, that's because the robot dialed your phone number, recognized that you answered, and then forwarded to the next available phone representative.
Yeah, because usually...
and that takes a second or two.
Yeah, if you pick up and you go, hello, and then you hang up.
Yeah.
Usually a couple of minutes later.
They'll call right back because they know you picked up.
Right. Now,
that's where I'm going to start having my phone.
Well, see, the problem is with robocalls, if it is just a robot voice, then that's not going to solve it. And, of course, you get robocalls for everything. Particularly at this time of year, you should shop here, you should do this, you should do that.
Yeah,
but when you get a live human being, I'm telling you, it's fun.
Oh, like I say, especially when, if I pick up the phone and I say hello, like you said, Steve, and nobody answers... when I say hello, you hang up, and they quick hang up, and then a few minutes later, they're calling back. That's where you get heavy
for. For those of you out there listening, if you have a significant other who is sometimes home with you, explain to him or her what it is you're doing. Because the first time I did it, the phone rang and I realized it was like, one of those numbers. And it popped into my head that I should do this. So I just answered the phone and said, hi there. Thanks for calling Soundbites. You're on the air. What's your question? My wife looked at me like, have you gone senile? You're in your kitchen.
I love it.
So after they hung up, I explained it to her. She said, I'm going to do that. Then I refined it to say, you're caller number 15, and what's your name?
Yeah.
Now you're engaging back with them.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
That's the way to do it. Absolutely is the way to do it.
There was an old episode of some show with Ted Danson, and he had one of those little portable air horns. All through the episode, he was just carrying it with him, and nothing to do with the topic of the episode. But people kept asking, "What's that? What's my air horn?" And they'd move on. It's like three or four times during that. Oh, it's my air horn. Finally, as the closing credits were playing, he's at home in his apartment. The phone rings, and hi, and He picks up the air horn and blasts it into the phone. And this was a decade ago. So
Yep.
Still
holds
true.
This has been happening a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they've been getting him since there were phones. I think at some point after...
The second phone call.
Watson, come here, I need you. Ring. Hello? Hi, I wonder if you need siding. Click.
But that's part of the problem is that these types of scams have been around, literally forever, that it used to be people would do fake handyman services.
Right.
And, they'd do a shoddy job or they'd split with half the money and never come back again. Catalog by mail. And then phone catalogs. So the bad guys just keep adapting to the changing times.
I was waiting in my front yard, standing in my driveway, waiting for the guy to come, who I knew. I knew the guy who was doing it to repave our driveway. Some guy pulls up and he says, "Hey, I see your driveway could use repaving. I just finished a job down the street. I got half a load of tar or whatever the stuff was, asphalt left. If you'd like, I can give you a price." I said, "I literally am waiting for the real guy, so no, thank you."
I've gotten a few of those, so I wonder if how true that is. They just load up their truck with asphalt and then drive around, or were they really at a job? Because as soon as it cools and hardens, it's ruined and you can't use it again.
More importantly, if you're only going to give me half of a load of asphalt, maybe you're not going to do a good job on my driveway.
I don't have enough left. And the guy kept going down, because we'd gotten an estimate for our house. I forget. We'd say $1,000. And he said, "Well, I can do it for $800. I said, "Well, no, we don't want to. How about $500? No, how about $200?
Yeah,
and I almost said yes.
Yeah, there comes a point where you think to yourself, "I'm saving $800. How bad can the job be for $800?
Yeah, and the answer would probably be pretty bad.
Pretty bad, yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So you got to be careful of these things. It's all the same stuff. It's only different ways. All right, listen, that music tells me that you wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense. But we're going to let you do it again because we know that your life is too full with really good things. So if you just wait just a few more minutes, we'll be back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. But there's still another hour to go on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great. And let me reiterate that we are truly grateful to all of you who have chipped in and made us member-supported. So stay tuned for another hour of member-supported radio on Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm still Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And for no discernible reason, you are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. At 5 minutes past the hour, we are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And you can give us a call at 585-966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. It should go without saying, but if you buy a spare charger for an Apple device, you should absolutely make sure it's from a known, reputable company. Your latest reminder of this comes from the Chartered Trading Standards Institute, or CTSI, a UK consumer protection organization that teamed up with Illinois-based safety testers UL to examine 400 counterfeit Apple chargers from various suppliers. According to the study, all but three of the 400 counterfeit chargers failed a basic safety test in which high voltages were applied to the chargers to see if they had enough isolation to protect against electric shocks. The study comes just a few weeks after Apple reported reportedly conducted its own study on third-party power accessories and found that roughly 90% of Apple chargers and cables sold through Amazon were unsafe. CNN and Bloomberg recently reported that Amazon is trying to take more concrete steps to prevent the sale of those knockoff devices. Whatever the case, fake chargers are still more common than they should be today. The CTSI has a few simple tips for ensuring yours is safe, making sure it plugs in smoothly, pin sizes aren't abnormally large or small, it has the appropriate commission tags, FCC, CE, UL, it has detailed safety warnings and instructions, etc., etc. The simplest thing you can do, though, is to buy it from a big name. Here's a crude but generally effective tip. If you don't know them, they don't own a website that looks professional, and you can't find any stories about their background on Google, stay away.
Don't rely just on price.
Right. Getting chargers and cables directly from Apple or an Apple-certified retailer is the easiest thing to do, especially on the cable side. If you don't want to pay the premium Apple often slaps on, look for accessories with Apple's MFI, made for iPhone certification, on its packages.
Make sure it's spelled right, because a lot of the companies are faking those UL logos and MFI logos. They're mostly cheap Chinese knockoffs, and they don't speak English natively, and so a lot of times there's really poor spellings.
Right. If you buy a device on Amazon, using a site like FakeSpot to ensure its users' reviews are legitimate can't hurt either. Apple has set up a set of tips on how to avoid counterfeit charging accessories on its site as well. While it's possible to get a reliable, speedy Apple charger without paying as much as Apple charges, you shouldn't cheap out. There are safety risks, real serious safety risks, for both you and the products you're charging. And let's face it, going to Apple or Mac Ave or any other reputable Apple dealer in your area doesn't take a whole lot of additional time and will help ensure that what you get doesn't turn your iPad or iPod or iPhone or iMac into iSlag.
Or worse, there have been deaths reported from people getting electrocuted.
Right. So where do you get your chargers? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Jim did from Chi-Lai, New York. Nope, we're not ready. Yes, now we're ready. Okay. Hiya, Jim. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Nick.
Okay, what's up?
I got a problem with my mouse. The light won't go off on the mouse. I have a Toshiba laptop with Windows 10. It used to go off, and all of a sudden it changed. There are people using it. I put it into sleep mode, and that works fine, but the mouse light never goes off. Oh, my question is, how do I turn that mouse light off when it goes into sleep mode?
Well, the mouse light never goes off.
No.
Is it a wired or wireless mouse?
No, it's a wired mouse where you plug it into a USB port.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will never go off until the computer's asleep, because it's always getting power from the computer.
Right. What you have
to
do is...
It goes into a sleep mode, all right, and it used to turn off with that sleep mode.
What version of Windows are you running?
Something changed on the computer.
Yeah, what version of Windows are you running?
Pardon?
What version of Windows are you running?
Windows 10.
Okay. Yeah, they just had an update that changed so... very many things.
And one of them could be supplying power. So say you had a USB hard drive plugged in. You want to keep that powered so it can back up. But you have a USB mouse plugged in. You don't want to power that. And it doesn't have any way of knowing which is which. So there may be sleep and hibernate issues there you just found? That's just HP, maybe. What brand computer is it?
Pardon?
Is it a brand computer or home built?
No, it's a regular bought built.
What brand is it?
Toshiba.
Okay. This seems to be a common issue of sleep and hibernate issues across all brands.
Microsoft does have an entire page on USB power in sleep mode. There's a setting in the BIOS, and I don't know how it would have gotten changed. For that, but if you go to Device Manager, to universal serial bus controllers. Choose properties.
Universal what?
Universal serial bus controllers, USB control. USB stands for universal serial bus.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So device manager, USB controllers might say universal serial bus controllers. Choose properties, power management, and allow the computer to turn off this device to save power.
And we'll post that link as soon as I get it.
Yep. Or you just pick that part. But, yeah, that's what that does. And what's happened is on some update somewhere in Microsoft, they decided that you shouldn't ever turn your devices off. So they made it so you can't. Well, they changed their default from off to on. And so you have a number of different USB root hubs, so you might have to do a little guessing as to which one actually has your mouse on it. And
yeah.
I hate to tell you that, but, you know, you might have two or four or eight, so you might have to do a little detective work. But the reality is that it's in there somewhere, and all you have to do is find it and set it, and you should be done.
How do I get into BIOS and device?
You don't need to get into BIOS. You just want to go into the device manager. So in Windows 10, if you go to that Cortana, they're the little typing box in the lower left corner, and just type in device manager. You'll get a list of things. The top one generally will be device manager. Click on that. It'll open up device manager. Go down to USB controllers, then properties and power management, and let the computer turn this device off to save power.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll give it a try.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Nick.
Yep. Generally speaking, for everybody out there who has Windows 10, the easiest way to find anything is just let Cortana do it for you. Go down to that box in the lower left corner and type in the thing you want. Display manager, device manager, control panel.
Because Microsoft is going to move it in the next version anyway.
That's exactly right.
It doesn't matter remembering where it is now.
Right. So, yes. And just typing it in every time is a little bit of an annoyance. But believe me, after you've done it three or four times, trust me, it's going to be the easiest thing you'll do. So, absolutely make sure that you learn to do that and to do it that way.
One of the things Apple added in a recent update was they called it Power Nap. So between awake and asleep, it can nap.
Nice.
And during napping, it will still back up your computer. It will still download updates. It will check for email. So it's in that intermediate stage where it's not completely on, but it's not completely asleep, too.
Nice. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. What's up, James?
Yes, I have a question. On Internet Explorer, I have Windows 7. After about an hour or so, when I'm using it at night, the cursor, it moves, but it doesn't click. It just stays an arrow. But it works on Chrome. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, it could be actually a virus.
Oh, really?
So I would suggest dancing the security tango. The problem is you're in Windows 7, so there are not going to be any fixes or updates or security fixes for you. I might still get some computer security fixes, but generally speaking, there's not a lot of protection for Windows 7 anymore, so you could certainly have a virus.
Yeah, the cursor moves, but it doesn't click.
Right. But if you go somewhere else, it will click.
Task manager, and I stop it, and then I restart it again, going into things, and it works. But it stops after about an hour.
Right. And Microsoft is never going to fix that anymore, because Windows 7 is gone, IE is gone. They don't care.
But it works perfect on Chrome.
Yeah, so, you know, the easy thing, and I hate to say this, but the easy thing to do is just switch to Chrome.
Yeah, one other thing. If I go back to System Restore, is that safe to do, like go back a couple of months?
Yes-ish. The problem is now you're going to have to do all those updates again and everything else, and particularly with Windows 7, who knows how clean that system was 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, because Windows 7 has been obsolete for most of a year now. So
that is probably something that's happening on the other end. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. The problem is that you may well have a virus, or you just may have a screwed up system, and it's Microsoft is never ever going to fix that.
Oh, that's up to them to fix it.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So obviously, just stick with the Chrome. And you wouldn't recommend going back a couple of months on, this is about 2 months old, the system restore?
It probably isn't going to fix it, because at some point your system will re-update again, and it'll just start happening all over again.
Yeah, but is that generally safe to do to use?
Generally safe, yes.
It doesn't do any damage or nothing.
No, you'll lose anything you may have installed since then, et cetera, et cetera. But as long as you know all that before you go back, it's safe.
Okay,
make sure you have good backups of your data.
Yes.
Okie doke.
Thanks.
Yep. Yeah, we have, I always feel bad when we talk to somebody about Windows 7. It's just, it's done. Windows 7 is done. If you go to Microsoft's Windows life cycle page, you will see that Windows 7 is basically done. And people get confused because there's a difference between Windows 7. End of mainstream support was January 13th of 2015. The problem is they look at end of extended support of January 14th, 2020, and think, oh, I've got years yet.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is extended support means your company is paying Microsoft a lot of money to continue to support Windows 7. If you aren't part of a company that is paying Microsoft a lot of money to update Windows 7, you are not part of extended support.
Right.
And unless you are willing to pay Microsoft a lot of money, you will never be part of extended support. So you are part of mainstream support, which ended now almost 2 years ago. So if you're still using Windows 7, you're pretty much done. You are pretty much done. You are
vulnerable to anything new coming out.
Yep. You may still get one or two updates. Certainly any programs you've got that are updatable will update. But that's not necessarily the operating system. Certainly any of the big bugs that they found, any of the holes that they found, are not going to get patched, because Microsoft doesn't want you on Windows 7 anymore and isn't going to help you keep it running. That's a hard but true fact. So if you're still on Windows 7, you are entirely on your own. And we can't really help you, because Microsoft isn't helping us to help you. So there's a lot of stuff that you just cannot do anymore. I wish that weren't true, but it is. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported jazz, 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Jan Niffler. I hope you'll join me this and every Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m. here on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Yes, Steve. Man,
where were we?
Every story I've got is
it's horrible
scam or thing or something. Or,
well, it's that time. That's the thing. It's that time of year, and we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't warn folks about it, because it is so prevalent out there.
Yep.
I mean, and it's getting scarier, you know, because more and more of them are popping up.
Yep.
And people are so busy with the holidays right now. You know, Thanksgiving's past, so, you know, Christmas blast. You know, people are out there doing the shopping and ordering this online and everything else. And, you know, they get such a hurry. Like I said, they get click happy.
Yep.
You know, oh, yeah. Oh, what do you mean my package isn't coming? Boom. You know, or there's an issue.
Yeah.
And they, in too big of a hurry, they don't take the time to read. And then that's when things happen.
Yep.
So it's just like we just got to keep reminding them.
Yep. Well, I do have one good story.
Okay.
So you've seen Snapchat. You've seen Snapchat.
No.
Well, it's a social media thing. You get 6 seconds of video and then it's gone. So you can't even keep it.
Okay.
So people use it all the time just for quick stuff. The company's called Snap, and they now have a product called Spectacles. Look up Snap Spectacles on Google, and it looks like something out of Santa Claus versus the Martians. They look a little silly, but people are interested in them because it lets you have hands-free 6-second videos.
And apparently they look better than Google Glass did.
They do not look better than Google Glass did, but
They are fashion glasses.
They are not fashion glasses.
Well, I should say,
we're too old for them.
Yeah, exactly.
I have heard of Snap, I just never...
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm old.
So if Snap Spectacles are really about sharing your... The problem with them is, of course, they're all sunglasses. And if Snap Spectacles is really about sharing your life with the world, you need a solution for capturing the majority of our lives that occur boxed inside buildings. This solution could come in the form of replacement lenses or in the form of an entirely new device. Lens manufacturer Rochester Optical...
Oh, do we know that place?
Has given us replacement lens option. On Thursday, they announced replacement lenses for spectacles that come in clear optical, sun, and photochromic versions. Sure, this is good news for people who can't wear sunglasses without prescription lenses, but it also means spectacles can now be used indoors. Luckily, spectacle owners can send their glasses in to be cut and upgraded to any precision prescription strength, including none at all. From the aesthetic, so you could just have a pair of plain glasses that are photochromic, so when you go outside, they turn dark. That's what photochromic means. From the aesthetics of the plating on that hipster dinner you ordered, to the smiles on the faces of your family meeting you at the airport after a long time apart, many moments are missed from the sheer fact you would look like an idiot wearing tinted spectacles inside a fancy restaurant or busy airport. This is not to mention the fact that capturing video with a smartphone is cumbersome and often impolite. Unfortunately, the pricing on the custom alternatives puts the charges slightly, not necessarily out of reach, but certainly in the I have to think about this category. Standard plastic is $100. High index is $150. And both polarized prescription sun and photochromic are $200. It's true that sunglasses have an element of je ne sais quoi that prescription glasses will never have. It also, je ne sais quoi is French for I don't speak French. It also makes sense that Snapchat's first cameras were integrated into sunglasses to stay far away from the branding disaster that was Google Glass, but the wonderful product that was, okay. But there remains an opportunity to help people capture their indoor lives hands-free. And it's nice to see that a Rochester company is taking advantage of that opportunity. So, would you use Snap Spectacles, particularly with Rochester Optical lenses in them? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
One of the things that the company Snap has done to sort of artificially constrain and drive up the demand for these glasses is they don't sell them. You have
to,
which makes the demand very, yes, very high comparatively.
You have to follow them on Twitter or on their website, and every now and then they announce a pop-up location where there'll be a vending machine.
Yeah.
And you have to wait to find where those vending machines are to go and buy them. Apparently there was one in New York City. I was just reading a story on Gizmodo where he calls himself a naughty word. Because he's standing in line for spectacles, but I'm really such a jerk for doing this. But yeah. I really need this for my job.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I have to review this for my job, but I really need this. And so, yeah, you have to follow them, wait for the pop-ups to come up. And I was hoping their website that just counted down from 5 minutes. There we are. So if you go to Six Flags Magic Mountain, which is in... California, right?
Mm-hmm. Louisiana, that one.
Was in Louisiana, yeah.
Right?
Well,
Harbor.
Hurricane Harvey, L.A. Is it L.A. is Louisiana, or is that L.A. Los Angeles? Let's back out. On Interstate 5,
No, it's California.
In Los Angeles, yeah. So right now, the only place to get them are at Six Flags Magic Mountain in Los Angeles.
For all those of you listening to us on the Jazz 90.1 app on your phones in Magic Mountain Six Flags, this is your chance to grab yourself some Snap Spectacles.
Yeah, I wonder how many they have in there, maybe one or two.
Well, it looked like a pretty big vending machine when I saw a picture of it once with maybe, a couple hundred, like a typical snack vending machine.
Oh, right? Okay.
And they're only what, $200? So they're significantly cheaper than Google Glass, too.
Yes. Yes, but they're really designed for taking Snapchats, and the problem is they come only with clear sunglasses.
Okay.
And according to The Verge, they are fun. That's totally worth the trouble.
Exactly. the problem, of course, is not that you can't get them easily or you look like a 1950s sci-fi dork when you're wearing them.
And as a 1970s sci-fi dork, I'm offended by that.
You should be offended by that. But the problem is that if somebody knows what you're wearing, they're probably not going to want you looking at them so that you're constantly taking Snapchats. And, of course, we know what these are going to be, except, of course, only 6 seconds of video, so which is enough. Never mind. The point here is that I'm trying to make is that the folks at Rochester Optical have jumped on this bandwagon, and I love this idea that somebody local has taken that initiative and said one of the problems with this product is that it is outdoors only.
Mm. And they come in black, teal, and coral.
Black, teal, and coral. And you can get them to, you send them your glasses, and they replace the plastic lenses with either non-prescription. If you don't wear a prescription, you can just get plain glass that is, for example, photochromic. So when you go indoors, they become clear, and when you go outdoors, they become sunglasses. Hmm. Or you can get them with UV whatever and whatever, whatever. So there's a bunch of different options. Or, of course, you can get them with those choices and with your prescription. So I love seeing a Rochester, New York company.
Yeah.
You know, when I first saw the story, I thought to myself, okay, Rochester, Minnesota, or Rochester, England, or whatever. So I went on their website, took a little looking around to see which Rochester they were in, but doggone it, they're a local company. I think that's great.
Now, at least these glasses do have a light on them that tell you when they're recording, so people know when you're recording them.
Right.
That was one of the complaints about Google Glass, is it didn't.
Well, and the other problem with Google Glass, of course, is that it is an unlimited recording.
Yeah.
You're on YouTube, so you could put these glasses on and walk around and just record on YouTube all day, all night.
With these record in 10-second increments up to 30 seconds at a time.
Oh, that's right. 30, not 8 seconds, 30 seconds. I know that because my daughter was just in Japan for Thanksgiving, although they don't actually celebrate Thanksgiving in Japan. She went there anyway and did nothing but Snapchat while she was there.
Did she find any turkey?
She did not. She had sushi pretty much constantly. We raised her right. She's a sushi girl. When she was like 8 or 7, they went on a school trip to Boston, and they went to the, of course, Fulton Fish Market, and it's lunchtime, and all the other kids headed to McDonald's, and one of the teachers said, "We're going to McDonald's," and Amelia said, "No, I want Boston clam chowder. I don't want McDonald's. I want
McDonald's
chowder."
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I want chowder. I want Boston clam chowder in Boston.
And with Boston baked beans.
Yeah.
Oh, good
combo. So one of the teachers said, "I'll go with her." Absolutely. They all kind of fought for the.
Yeah, and so
to go with her. So, yeah, we'd raise their daughter.
I say, when in, Rome, do as the Romans. You know?
Exactly right. You can
sit
get McDonald's
there
anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
From here to California.
Right. Although I am given to understand that McDonald's in Japan is a very, very different experience.
Well, I could imagine the meat and everything else.
Yeah, and the sides and what they serve and everything else, and the flavors are very different. But in general, you know, you go to Boston or you go to
probably
there's Rochester
seasonings in that too.
Yeah, yeah.
I always got a kick out of the Top Gear episodes where they would do, you know, cars in Japan, and Richard, one of the guys, hates fish, and so they would always say try to get him to eat stuff. Because that's pretty much all they eat in Japan. It's an island. That's your food source.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they would always tease him for not eating fish when they were in Japan.
Yep. It's I admit I love sushi. I love sushi.
Well, I love seafood anyway. So yeah. I've gotten into a few. You know, as far as sushi, that a couple of places around here that offer it, and that, you know, and it's good.
I tell you what. I miss
the green stuff, though.
Wasabi.
Yeah,
clear you right up.
Oh, dude!
I don't care what's wrong with you; it'll clear you up.
I found that out.
Now you get the Japanese.
You break an arm and have some wasabi. Yeah. Clears it right up.
The Japanese wasabi and the Chinese hot mustard.
Yeah.
What happens when you mix them together?
Yeah. I believe that's Armageddon. Now you're done. The thing I miss. Because now I do this radio show instead of going to market. My wife and I own a stand at the public market where we sell coffee. And on Saturdays, of course, I can go down to Scott's and get a fish fry. They make their fish fry with grouper.
Ooh.
It is so good. It is so good. And so now when we get a fish fry somewhere else and it's a white fish, it's haddock, I take that first bite and go, oh, yeah. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's not grouper.
Right. Well, the other one that I like, as a matter of fact, I'm going to pick some up for tomorrow, is tilapia.
Oh, yeah.
I do a panko tilapia out on the grill, and it's great.
Yep.
You know,
now, lobster used to be trash food. There were so many lobsters. I'm just reading this article online that people in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, you know, they'd wash up on shore in 2-foot-high piles. They would feed them to prisoners. The governor,
wow,
yeah,
the governor of the Massachusetts Bay Colony had to apologize to
lobster again.
Yeah, they were forced to eat lobster 3 or 4 times a week because there were just so many of them.
Yep,
and now it's an expensive delicacy.
Well, when my sister that's a year younger than me to the day, she lived in Warwick, Rhode Island. And at least every year we'd go up there, and my late son-in-law, our brother-in-law, really, brother-in-law, had this friend that had a lobster boat. And they always told me, you know, and Ron was always helping him out in that. And the guy would always say, hey, listen, out the end of the dock is a trap, you know, or thing. If you want some lobster, go ahead and do it. And I remember going there at Easter time and that, and getting a bunch of the lobster out of it. I actually learned how to put a lobster to sleep.
You curl them up and rub their backs, right?
Or their bellies. What you do is
right.
Yeah, you put their claws out and you just run your finger up and down their under part.
Yep.
And it paralyzes them, and they just sit there. And oh, like you say, and then Deb's going to the refrigerator. Oh, we got some extra. Yeah, this is old. I'm throwing it out. I go, what? You throw out lobster? No.
Yeah.
I throw out hamburger. You don't throw out lobster. She goes, oh, we get so much of it here. It's no big deal.
And there were so many canneries that popped up. They were saying Boston baked beans were 59 cents a pound. Lobster was only 11 cents a pound.
Yep.
People fed lobster to their cats. It used to be served in tin cans like tuna fish.
Yep.
But then when the railroads came along and started shipping lobster across country, it became the rare delicacy in other parts of the country.
Right.
And suddenly now it's horribly expensive.
All right. That music tells me it's time for us to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running food show on the known universe. It's Sound Food Bites.
Bites.
Exactly, with an I. It's Bites with an I, Francis has never asked us to remind you. Back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edner.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have Ken from Rochester, New York on the line. Talk to us, Ken. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Dave, Nick, Steve. Wonderful show today.
You did that right, by the way. Gentlemen and Dave, Nick, and Steve. So that was right.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm not to step on anybody's toes, but I got to give you a little kudos, Nick. You brought back some good memories for me. Well, you know, it's your last name. I kind of, I don't know if it's your heritage, my heritage, but from an Italian perspective, the scoldings that we receive when we're young.
Yeah.
You don't appreciate them until, you know, you get a little bit older, and then they kick in and they say, you know, darn it, Mom was right.
Yep.
So, anyways, thanks for that memory.
Yeah, you turn into your parents, which you vowed you never would.
Yeah, when you open your mouth and you hear your mother, your father's voice coming out of your body.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think to yourself, well, we're done now. And I spent much of my daughter's youth looking up to heaven and saying, stop laughing.
Well, I think we can all say that.
Yeah.
We can all say that, and you know, it's funny, but we need more of that. But that's another topic. A phone question for you guys, so I'm hoping you can answer it, because I've been putzing around with it, and I just haven't really viably found a solution.
Okay.
Search the web a little bit here and there. Voice over IP.
Yeah.
And the odd situation I get, and it's it makes me wonder if somebody isn't messing with me. It's like touching any tone on the phone. I'll be in the middle of a conversation, and suddenly it'll go to somebody, like someone pressing on the number 5, 0, whatever, and it's that constant tone. And it stays on indefinitely. So I stay on the phone, and it just, you know, continues on. And that's one thing it does.
Well, all right. What phone system are you using?
Well, I've got two, but we could either one. NetTalk's one.
Yeah.
And I haven't a clue. Here's the other thing that's kind of odd. Whenever I talk to somebody over the phone about it, like we are right now.
Yeah.
It goes away for like an enormous amount of time, and then it will suddenly come back again. So that's the primary question, but the secondary one is actually a good follow-up to that. Overall phone systems, I know, you know, I believe it was Dave had the flaming phone.
Yeah, Dave Boom Boom Enright.
The good old
Note 7, yeah.
Note 7.
No longer to be set on fire because he's got a new phone, but from your guys' perspectives, what's the best? Private, you know? I mean, back in the day of analog, I'm an old-timer.
Yep.
What's actually, you know, encrypted? Is there such a thing as an encrypted phone call?
Yes. Yes, there's an app called WhatsApp, and you can use it to make phone calls and to send texts and everything else, and it is end-to-end encrypted.
But the other end also has to have WhatsApp.
Yeah, the other end has to also have WhatsApp, yes.
Yeah, similar to Apple's FaceTime.
Right.
Now, Skype claims to be encrypted, but we've figured that Microsoft has a backdoor to it.
Yeah. But theoretically, WhatsApp is fully encrypted end-to-end.
In fact, their company officials have gone to prison because they won't turn over calls.
Right.
Because they can't. They're encrypted.
The WhatsApp people.
Yeah, the WhatsApp people, yeah.
Right. It you can send videos, and I think you can do video calls as well. So, there's a huge untapped market out there for encrypted calls, but I would suggest taking a look at WhatsApp as one of the most commonly used ones. Now, as for your problem with the tone under VoIP, I'm not a VoIP guy, so I'm not entirely sure, but it sounds like if it happens with multiple carriers, but on the same equipment,
mm-hmm.
then it's probably a problem with either the equipment or your network connection.
Okay.
And I would certainly ask the companies, if they have any experience with this, but it is very possible that it is in fact simply your phone equipment.
Okay. Well, I guess that, you know, it's always a possibility.
Yeah.
Out of security perspective, beyond what you were talking about, a point-to-point connection, really.
Yeah.
With that software. And any thoughts on, like, is analog more secure than voice over IP versus cell?
Well,
a lot of people have gone to cell entirely, like Dave has. So.
Right. And, well, analog is safe only because so few people use it anymore.
True.
Well, I mean, that's it. It's really easy to tap.
Yeah, that's clear. That's
it's a just given. Right. It's really easy to tap. It's just that most people don't anymore. But in terms of digital, phone conversations are easy to hear.
There is an encryption system built into the cell protocols, but it has to get decrypted at the carrier,
right?
So that's where the taps are,
right?
There is there's a product from Open Whisper Systems, which is for iPhone and Android, which is also encrypted messaging and phone calls. Edward Snowden recommends them.
Well, there you are. Now we're good.
It's Moxie Marlinspike is working on the protocols for them, and he is one of the most well known encrypted communication guys on the internet.
Right.
And I want to know what his real name is, but it's just Moxie Marlinspike. That's a cool name.
Right. So Open Whisper Systems is one, and that's an app you download and
use? An app for Android or iPhone.
Yeah. Again, now the other person at the other end has to have the same app. Right.
Yeah. No, I know, and that's a tough nut. I mean, but anyways, it's good to know. And I'll give you one last piece of information before I hang up. Just out of the fun of it, of all of this, I did come across a cell phone on a site called Freedom Pop.
Yep.
And they call it the Edern, the Snowden guy phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, how true is this, you know?
Well, yeah, everybody wants to say they're secure and blah, 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 blah. Freedom Pop is only $40 a month, so I suppose that's good. But, I've not looked into that particular phone. I've seen the thing you're referring to. I just haven't looked into it deeply enough to know. I do know that WhatsApp is pretty clean in terms of encryption. I will certainly look into Open Whisper Systems.
We're a little worried that when Facebook bought WhatsApp that they would do something to it, but they haven't yet.
Yet, at least that we know of, so that's why I'm looking into Open Whisper Systems. But in general, if you're that concerned about security, I would suggest that you just start meeting people face to face and covering your mouth when you speak.
Bruce Schneier and Matt Green also endorse it.
Yeah, you have a valid point. Well, gentlemen, thank you as always. You have a splendid afternoon, and don't eat too much fish.
Yeah, exactly. Can you eat too much fish? You can because of the mercury poisoning nowadays.
Yeah, we can't eat fish here.
Only that, it tends on this time of year especially to weigh heavily on the waistline.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, exactly. Gentlemen, have a good one.
All right, have fun.
All right, bye-bye.
Yep.
Yeah, when I was, one more lobster story. When I was a kid, my uncle, we went to visit my uncle in Washington, D.C., and he took us to a restaurant, and I had lobster tail stuffed with crab meat.
Oh.
Through the entire meal, my father kept leaning over to me saying, "Don't get used to this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get used to this. Don't get used to this." Boy, that was good.
Mm.
What I really love is tuna. Good fresh tuna sushi is very different taste than what you get in tuna fish. Tuna fish, you know, processed.
Right.
Yeah. And one time we were at the Rochester Lilac Festival years and years and years ago, and Tom Beeman, who owned California Roland, was slicing up. He had a stand there. And he was slicing up tuna for when he opened. We'd gone early, and he was slicing up tuna, and he'd slice one and put it in the case. He'd slice one and eat it. He'd slice one and hand it to me. And slice one for the case, one for him, one for me. Man, oh, man. And, of course, that came right off the boat. I mean, that's, you know, it doesn't get good fresher stuff, than that. It was just amazing. Amazingly good.
Oh, yeah. Well, going back for a second, you know, the wasabi. See, I did.
Yeah, wasabi, yeah.
I didn't know what that was.
Because
Lori loved going, you know, loved yep. seafood and that too. And we went to one place, and I said, oh, what's this? So I quicked, you know, grabbed some, and I put a decent amount sure. on it, and I just get it in my mouth, and Lori turned to me and says, you might not want to. Too late.
Yep, yep.
Holy macaroni.
You were awake for a while.
Oh, talk about cleaning the sinuses.
Exactly.
Dang.
Cleans out your sinuses, your ears, your spleen, your lungs, your toes.
Yeah, I didn't have congestion for a month.
You're no kidding. No kidding. But and wasabi is really, really good. I'm not saying I don't like it.
Yeah,
I like
no,
it a lot.
It's just potent.
A little goes a long way.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. It's an amazing taste.
It's great,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moderation.
Yeah, and moderation is good. But yeah, so coming full circle, be aware that phone scams and other types of scams are out this season. And be a little cynical. I know it's the season of good cheer and love and blah, 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 but be a little cynical as you go along with these things, will you? All right, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to those to whom we did not get. Please call earlier next week. And we will indeed be back here next week. So we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. We'll be back with more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. You've wasted 2 solid hours of your life listening to sound bites on the truly great and truly grateful to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. And we will see you in 166 hours. Have fun. Be good. Eat sushi.